I find all of these discussions very, very interesting as far as being able to separate ourselves from what appears to be an ever-encroaching control apparatus. John R. sent me something, says, it's interesting, John B., during the Carter administration, I saw the survivalist movement. During the Clinton administration, I saw the militia movement. During the Obama administration, we see the sovereign movement. Seems like during times of weak leadership, we see people trying to get control of their own lives. That might not be a I guess he's a right-wing nut or something. I don't know, but I can't say that I disagree with him. The thing is that we need to maintain control of our lives at all times. Why do we slack? Why is it when we get a good leader, which we do every once in a while, operating within the constraints that they do, because we know it's not just the president and it's not just the Congress. It's a whole apparatus, and mostly it's the money guys. I think we all know that, too. But what about this? I mean, I was going to play a Share the Land by the Guess Who, you know? Baby, I'll be there to shake your hand. I'll be there to share the land that they'll be giving away when we all live together. It's like, I remember listening to that song when it first came out, and I thought, totally impossible. So, anyway, we'll explore these things because there's a revolution coming, all right, but I think it's got to be a revolution in thinking. Don't you think? I mean, don't you want to go to the stars still? Don't you like? I mean, I don't like being groped by the TSA. And in fact, I'd sometimes perform lewd acts to discourage any intense scrutiny. You know, behold, I'll just leave it at that. You know what I mean? But nobody likes that. Nobody likes that stuff. There's no real reason for it. It seems like our security services don't bust very many people that they don't set up. Have you noticed that? And then you have this other thing here. Here, I'm going to jerk the wheel over this way. Let's just do a flat roll here and get this. This is from Dr. Mercola. Mercola. No, not Ricola. Mercola, MERCOLA.com. This is from the 8th of this month. People in the UK, you talked about the blushes. We're talking about fluoride removal from the water. Oh, what a good idea. People in the UK may want to pay special attention to the following issue. The Blackpool Council's Health and Wellbeing Board recently proposed adding, yes, fluoride to milk in its primary schools. This so-called dental milk would ostensibly be introduced to promote dental health in school-aged children, since the town does not fluoridate its municipal water supplies. The proposal was supported by an overwhelming majority. The dental health in Blackpool children is said to be among the worst in the country, with 43% of 12-year-olds having at least one unhealthy tooth, compared to 33.4% nationally. 10 other areas of the UK have already introduced fluoridated milk to its students. Counselor Tony Williams said parents should be given both sides of the argument before agreeing to let their children have fluoridated milk. He says, I believe that just adding fluoride to school milk falls far short of the need to tackle the problem, he told us to the British Gazette. Better school dental programs should also be introduced, with an increase in school visits from NHS, that's National Health Service, dentists, and oral hygiene specialists. Most school children in Blackpool are now eating two breakfasts a day, with the school serving including starch and syrup. Children should be allowed and encouraged to brush their teeth in school after every meal. In response, I'll make it quick, Cabinet Member for Health Ivan Taylor said that the council has not yet made any decision on the matter, but they will be testing the opinion of schools and anyone else that's interested. They also know that parents would have the right to choose if they want their children to receive fluoridated milk or not. And just a few months ago, UCLA released a study saying, oh, yes, fluoride most assuredly retards mental development in children. So what do you do about this gigantic apparatus? What do you do? Tear it all down and start over? Problematic. I'm thinking taking control of your life, being vocal about it, get some people to back you up, and begin changing the things that you don't like. It's that soft chair that I've mentioned many times on the program, which was told to me by Mesta. Mesta always correct. Soft chair doesn't make you more fit. It makes you less fit. And he went on to say that there is no limit to the laziness of the human being. We sit, and before long, we want to lie down. All right, right back with the blushes after this. This is Coast to Coast AM. Hang on. John and Catherine, tell me now, what, let's go back to, it's been a while, but you know, the synapses are all firing. So let's go back to the Social Security number thing. Do you anticipate any kind of a, this being a detriment to incorporating the children into the system? I mean, to some degree, do you find absolutely no value in it, or do you see it as a, might as well stamp it on your forehead, here, there, that's your number? I mean, do you just reject it totally out of hand? Do you anticipate there will be any blowback from not assigning Social Security numbers to your kids?
Well, we personally objected for ourselves. We weren't given the option when we were born whether or not we were to receive one or not. And from a practical standpoint, our generation, we're both 29. We were born in 1984, literally and figuratively. But there's no Social Security money for us. It's a Ponzi scheme that they've been using to finance wars of aggression and give bailouts to their buddies. We use a philosophy of parenting that really allows for as many choices as possible to be made by our children. So regardless of what our views are on the subject, we want our daughter and son to have the option of whether or not they choose themselves whenever they are an age to understand the ramifications of getting a slave surveillance number. They can make that choice. They could take it upon themselves. So it's not difficult to get a Social Security number once you're already born. But we want to give them that choice because we reject the institution and how it relates to the income tax. It was originally only supposed to be used for Social Security and Medicare. And now it's used for a whole slew of things, from banking to driver's license. So the way I see it, we're hoping to build a new way of doing things, again, based on voluntary association, not coercion. And the way I see it, I have about 13 to 15 years to create an environment where my daughter is not dependent on centralized banking institutions, which require a Social Security number in order to engage in everyday economic exchange, where my daughter isn't required to ask permission and pay a tax and get a registration on her vehicle, her automobile, before she wants to travel to come visit her family down the road. So we're hard at work building the alternative society that we all yearn for. Some people call it a utopia. I just call it peaceful people living together in harmony and engaging in voluntary interaction for mutual benefit. I don't think it's that far-fetched. I think we can accomplish it. And I've given up personally. As I said, I don't accept the idea that you should have to ask permission to travel, but so many people just accept the driver's license. I think so many people are used to it. I renewed my driver's license a couple years ago, last till 2018, but I want to focus a lot of my energy on creating an environment where my daughter doesn't have to deal with the TSA, where my daughter doesn't have to subsidize foreign wars of aggression, where my daughter doesn't have to pay into a Ponzi scheme,
where she doesn't
have to subsidize people's negative health care.
And I take it you're not for her taking the HPV vaccine either.
No, we decided to err on the side of nature on the vaccine front too, and both of our children are completely unvaccinated natural babies. And I tell you what, John B., they're sick a lot less often than other kids that are vaccinated, we've noticed.
It really doesn't surprise me. I mean, now there are some, you know, there are some diseases that need to be wiped out. But, I mean, you're right. The farther, it's like a guy told me one time, you know, a hospital's a real good place to connect with something that'll kill you. Yeah, that's actually true, JB. You're right.
You know, before our children were born, we did a lot of research on the vaccines, each vaccine, and every single one, it came back to if your child has a strong immune system, they can fight off this disease with their own body. They don't need the vaccine. So all the research came down to strong immune system, strong immune system, strong immune system. So we decided, instead of weakening our children's immune system by pumping these newborn innocent babies full of chemicals and Lord knows what else, you know, that we were going to focus on building their immune systems. And we changed our diet, and you know, we try to eat 100% organic as often as possible. We've tried to remove GMOs from our diet. You know, certain things, you know, cheese used to make me break out. I had horrible acne. I paid thousands and thousands of dollars to try and fix my skin. Lo and behold, it was cheese. It was dairy. So we've really been working to take ownership of our own bodies so that our children, while we're feeding them, will have strong immune systems. And as they grow into adults, will have the knowledge of what good food is and good nutrition and how to take care of themselves without feeling like they have to turn to something that is potentially dangerous to them.
Okay, I get you. All righty then. Well, let's talk to Jess in College Station, Texas. Astro 4. What's up, Jess?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Well, briefly to tell you about myself, I am a city councilman in College Station, which is a town of 100,000, which is about an hour and a half east of Austin. So I'm really not too far from where John and Catherine are. But to give you an idea about who I am as an elected official, one of the things that I was able to do while I've been on city council is actually get rid of fluoridated water in College Station. I know you guys were talking about that. So I'm very conservative, limited government guy. I wanted to bring up a couple of points really briefly. First and foremost is when you're talking about self-sufficiency and a lot of the things that they're doing to be self-sufficient. Obviously, you know, I have no qualms about them making their own choices. Unfortunately, and I think they would both probably agree with this, the reality is that city regulations and county regulations, and in Texas and in some other states, ETJ regulations, which is it's what's called the extraterritorial jurisdiction, which is to say that actually outside of a city limit, you have a zone that is still regulated by the city to some extent, even out in the county. Those regulations, I think, are a huge hindrance to people who want to do something, for example, as simple as have chickens in their backyard or even have horses. People who want to build a shed without electricity, you know, in Austin, if you build a shed in your backyard, the city requires you to run electricity to it because they see it as an independent structure, and the building code requires you to have electricity for even a 100-square-foot shed. So that's, you know, my first point, I guess, is very simply that in my experience in city government, and I know that John's as well, that a lot of these regulations really do get in the way of people wanting to make their own choices of how to use their property. And I do have one more comment, but I don't know if they had anything to say about that.
Yeah, I agree. It's a total burden, and people that are interested in getting involved politically, I strongly recommend. Me and Kat are we're not big fans of the political activism, although I do appreciate people doing it. And I think if you are to get involved politically, the local and state levels where you can have the biggest impact, and you can go in and get fluoride removed from a municipal water supply like you did. But it's important to have people that value individual liberty and respect for property rights in those institutions making change. And if change can't happen, I recommend people vote with their feet and pack up and move to a freer place, maybe outside of the ETJ in smaller counties that are less burdensome. And then if you want, you know, sometimes people got to take a stand. And I think there's some common sense things that may be illegal or that may be prohibited that most people agree with and think that shouldn't be wrong or shouldn't be illegal. And if the city's going to come try to crack down because you got a flock of a dozen chickens in your backyard, then part of me says, bring it on. You know, in my opinion, it'll make the city look even more foolish. They'll end up having mud on their face. I think it comes a time when people need to stand up and stand by their flock of chickens and stand by their shed in the backyard and peacefully resist the doctrine of arbitrary subservience to some bureaucracy. But no, you raise a good point. It's something that hinders a lot of people. Thankfully, in Austin, the local government tends to be friendlier to some of these sustainability issues and growing your own food and backyard chickens and stuff like that. But there's definitely some other areas where the regulations are burdensome, and it's important that there's people in the institution of government like yourself that are making change for the better.
Well, I appreciate that. The other thing I wanted to mention very briefly, I must disagree to some extent on the idea of, I guess, completely disaffecting or disjoining oneself from the idea of a state or any government, and not because I am a fan of government, quite the contrary. I think government screws everything up. But I do want to make the point briefly that, you know, without, for example, courts to redress grievances in a society, without protections for contracts, which I think are necessary in a free market, even Ron Paul quite often mentioned contract protections. And then, of course, one thing that really, in my view, is the primary focus, or should be the primary focus, maybe one of the only things the federal government does, certainly is one of the only things under the Constitution, is to provide for national defense. It's all well and good, and I'm not necessarily in philosophical disagreement with the idea that people should manage things within their own communities to the extent that that's possible. But I do think that you need some ability for a nation to defend itself. And so the Constitution, it's not a perfect document. It is probably the best governance document ever written. It's all about negative rights is what the liberals call it. But, of course, that's individual rights. We all have individual rights, not group rights. And as a result of that, I do think that you need some document, some government document, to protect some of these essential liberties, because if not, as you know, John and Kat, I know that you guys probably believe, as I do, that, you know, really liberty is something that's a natural right that everyone has. But the only restriction on that is you can't harm someone else's liberty, right? In the exercise of your liberty, you shouldn't harm someone else's rights. And yeah, without some kind of protection on that, which I feel is an essential role for government, I wonder how well it would work. I don't know that people wouldn't necessarily go out and try and defraud or harm others. And you don't need a big government to do that, but you do need some protections on liberty. So that was the only other point I wanted to make. And I appreciate the interesting program. And thank you for all that you do, Mr. Wells, as well.
Well, right back at you. Thank you very much. Well, that was an interesting call. Yeah. You know, the thing is, it's not because our system is such a, I get tired of this expression, the system is broken. People just think that's just such a groovy phrase to hold on to. It's like, no, the system's not broken. The system is perverted, twisted, changed, mutated, and screwed up. It's not broken at all. It's being manipulated, really, just to use a somewhat proper English. When you talk about wars of aggression, well, you know, all wars are wars of aggression unless what you mean is not a defensive war. And what we don't want is we don't want to facilitate our government going around starting them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, that's a problem. I mean, this is, I think our biggest problem, John and Catherine, is that we have departed so far from the way this country was supposed to operate. And I really think that it became totally visible with the Kennedy assassination. That's the one that really showed us what was going on, because nobody bought the official story, not really. Even the ones who went, oh yeah, it was Oswald, is, you know, in their private moments they're going, I don't know, with that old rifle and everything. I think what we need to do is get some more people in government who think like yourselves. And I think if I were to sum up what your philosophy is, it's we're not doing any harm to anybody. We contribute by not taking from people or engaging in avarice where we accumulate things by putting others at a disadvantage. If I understand you correctly, your philosophy is leave us alone and let us just live our lives. If we do something criminal, well, then come see us. But otherwise, stay out and stop trying to impose rule after rule to our detriment on us. Am I close?
Yeah, I mean, that sums it up pretty well. And I think in order to have an environment where that type of philosophy can flourish, it's got to be an environment absent an institution that enjoys a monopoly on the legitimate use of violence, which is a state, which I'd love to talk about more. I think if we want to have true human flourishment, we can't have governments that force people to participate against their will. And I think, again, that's why we're iterating the need to build these alternative institutions. I think that the system is fundamentally flawed, intrinsically flawed, and it always attracts the most evil people to the institution, because whenever they take the reins of power in government, they have the ability to legally force people to do things against their will. And they have the ability to leech up all of the wealth and distribute it to all their friends. I personally think that every service government provides can be more effectively, efficiently, justly, and equitably provided by the market or people peacefully interacting with one another.
Excellent. Let's take a break. Come right back with your calls. Everybody just hold your position. We'll be right back. This is Coast to Coast AM. Well, I hate that I have a reason. I'm using the word hate here. I hate that I have a reason to even discuss this with you, but I do. And it's this Fukushima thing. I'm putting together another Fukushima forum. We'll see if we can get Mr. Gunderson back on here. He's in the thick of it. But you cannot believe the information that is coming in from all over the place, including, finally, mainstream media. Here's one from October 11th. This is Fox News. Yeah. Surging radiation levels in sea around Fukushima plant. TEPCO says high density of strontium expert, bursts of contamination are likely from water entering pocket of radioactivity. Physicians in California concerned about fish contaminated with the Fukushima ionizing radiation particles. I'm eating more fruits and vegetables to fight cell damage from the radiation. Get a pocket Geiger counter. What a good idea. I just want to mention a website that I set up for you. Not for me. I set it up for you because I don't like it either. That would be caravan2midnight.com. Do not use the number two. Do not spell it N-I-T-E. Just caravan2midnight.com. As many things as possible, you know, with just for everyday living, radiation detectors, fluoride removal units, dirty electricity cleaner upper filters from Dave Stetzer. People have been saying, how can we determine what's coming off our smart meters? I'm getting bombarded. People are getting sick. And, okay, there's an electromagnetic radiation detector on there, too. Go to caravan2midnight.com. You can also go to Mazur Instruments, M-A-Z-U-R, instruments.com. And there's all kinds of stuff for you to read about operating Mazur's Geiger counters. These are professional-grade instruments. And you will need to sit down and just play with it for a little while, like the kids do when they sort out everything that you can't sort out in 15 minutes. It's because they push every button and they actually get into it a little bit and learn what to do with it. We are also available to support you should you say, step me through this thing. We can. Phone number's on the website, caravan2midnight.com. Come see me. We'll take care of you. Nobody will take care of you like my crew does. Okay? Why is that? Because when I speak, they listen. Because they know they're dedicated. They like people, and they know that the reason we set up the site is because you're not being told. So I guess we'll have to. And that's what we do on Coast to Coast AM. Final segment coming up with the Blushes. That would be John Bush and Catherine Bleich. Sovereign Living, maybe it's for you. In fact, maybe it's for all of us. Maybe there's some way that we can maintain the civilization we have built and still be individuals. Remember the old Patrick McGoohan series, The Prisoner, celebrating the right of the individual to be individual. Remember the mantra, I will not be pushed, filed, stamped, indexed, briefed, debriefed, or numbered. My life is my own. It is your life. And speaking of it's my life and I can do what I want, Tara sent me an email that said, one day I'll treat you real fine. I never knew that was the lyric. I thought it was rebind or rebind, some bluesy thing. But anyway, one day I'll treat you real fine. And that's what we try to do here at Coast to Coast AM. Just hang on a minute. We'll be right back. All right. You know, there's a fellow named Kumar Palana who has passed away at his home in Oakland, California at age 94. And it's interesting because he started the Cosmic Cup on a famous street in Dallas, Texas, actually brought yoga to Dallas many years ago and stole many a scene in various Wes Anderson films. You may not know this, you may not know him, but he appeared in small but memorable parts as Kumar in Bottle Rocket, Mr. Little Jeans in Rushmore, Pagoda in the Royal Tenenbaums, and as the old man in the Darjeeling Limited. And anyway, just a wish for him as he makes his cosmic journey that it's a smooth one. Probably will be. He was a very nice man and brought a lot to the global party. 94 years old. Smooth sailing, Kumar. All right. Well, it says Italy, but I'm not sure exactly where. Claris in Italy on Astroline 4.
Hi, John. How are you? Can you hear me?
I certainly can. Are you really in, like, Italy the country, or are you in Italy, Texas, or?
I'm in Italy the country. I'm about 30 minutes from Switzerland.
Excellent. Pretty up there.
It's gorgeous. But I was calling in because listening to the entire discussion, and also that council member who think a few people in councils are trying to do the right thing, but it just seems that we've lost track of one important issue, and that we're working in a parallel law system. We think that we're falling under natural laws and common law, when in actuality we're under a maritime ownership laws system. I mean, that's why when you sign up for any government program or a Social Security number, it's actually a tacit contract under maritime laws. And
yes, I've heard that.
No, it's actually true. I mean, when you go into law dictionaries, and especially Black's Law Dictionary, it's precise language. Obamacare was just exposed, or let's say decided by the Supreme Court as being a tax. So when you go on that website, you're actually signing up no different from any terms and agreement of any other program you might, even the internet. You go on Facebook and it says, do you agree to these terms and conditions? The same with any other. It's a tax, and when they can tax you, they can levy or place a lien on you. I think we need to reissue our Constitution, more to the point, the Declaration of Independence and our Constitution. We need to reinstate. We need to challenge this government as if they were a foreign government. It has been done before, and it's time to do it again. I think that the Constitution, its laws, its backbone was not fully realized. And a lot of people are very simplistic. Well, we won the war. Well, the King of England at that time never acknowledged or conceded victory to those colonies. And if you understand the law, you would understand that's a big deal.
Well, it also explains why we're so joined at the hip to England. It's not just because we're cousins, as they like to say.
Well, it's an absolute evil genius when you look at the system of the centralized bank, okay? We can't defeat them on a battlefield. We must infiltrate. And a lot of people are very simplistic, thinking, well, we won, so all the bad guys, what, leave? No. We had very infiltrated government, and it was always an alternative to take down the, any nation with the centralized banking system.
Mm-hmm. I think you're absolutely right. It's awfully kind of you to call all the way from Italy. But before you go, how is it over there? How is their economy? In Switzerland, that operation never skips a beat. But how are the Italians doing?
I think they're feeling the crush, just like America, just like other nations. They're starting to feel the crush of it. I mean, when you consider that their taxes on their paycheck is at 42.6%, that's their paycheck is taxed immediately. And then you add all the other taxes on top, they're lucky to walk away with 27% of their paycheck. That's as close to slavery as, I mean, that's a penitence to live off of.
Yeah. Reminds me of that old song, Oh My Soul to the Company Store. Hey, thanks a lot for calling, Clarice. That was very kind
Thank
of you to
you,
do
John.
That. Take care. Well, jump in anywhere, John and Catherine. Let it rip.
Yeah, I think, a lot of callers and a lot of people will often appeal to the Constitution and believe if we restore the Constitution, we'll find freedom. But a lot of people fail to recognize that what took place with the signing of the Constitution was actually a betrayal of the principles of the American Revolution, which was a seemingly genuine revolution for individual liberty to overthrow a centralized government. Well, the power players, the one percenters of the time, they came in and set up their own central government. The Constitutional Convention was actually a constitutional coup d'etat. The U.S. Constitution was implemented unconstitutionally per the Articles of Confederation. It took unanimous consent from each one of the states. The Constitutional Convention, once the Congress was formed, they went so far as to institute an embargo on the state of Rhode Island in order to coerce that state into joining the Union. I don't think it was for mutual benefit of the people, not to mention like 90% of the people that inhabited the geographic area known as America at the time had no say whatsoever in the manner in which they were to be governed. If you ask me, the Constitution was nothing more than a power grab by those who held the position of privilege at the time. It set up massive institutions of taxation, the ability to take out credit on the backs of the American public. They wrote into the Constitution something that's similar to the NDAA, Indefinite Detention Clause, which says that the Congress has the power to suspend habeas corpus. So I don't think relying on this one piece of paper in order to protect our rights is really a noble plan. I think it's important for people to take responsibility for the provision of their liberty, their security, their food, their health into their own hands. And that's something that we try to demonstrate with the reality show that we put together, Sovereign Living. It's at sovereignliving.tv. And it's just been one of my little passions to research the early history of the Constitution, because there's a lot of misnomers and half-truths that come out about it. I don't think it was a document that created more freedom. I think it created dramatically less freedom, and it's led to the problems that we have today. Or either that, or it's been powerless to prevent them.
And keep in mind, John and I used to travel the country advocating for the Constitution, and we were strong supporters of the Constitution until we really sat down and read the document in its entirety and learned about the history. So I know it's kind of shocking probably to hear someone saying the Constitution brought about less freedom than existed before. But if you really sit down non-emotionally and you study the facts, it appears to be the truth.
Sometimes the awakening is a rude awakening, you know?
Yeah. Like a slap in the face.
Well, it really is. Let's carry on with our calls. There are a bunch of people still want to talk to you. Let's talk to Robert in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, on Wild 5.
John.
How are you?
John?
Yes.
Hello, John. Hello, John, and hello, Catherine.
Hello.
Good morning.
Your type of living actually is pretty much almost mirrored to the Amish living in this area. Is there, these people, they farm for themselves. They try not to use the federal government as much as possible. They pay cash for any medical expenses that they have.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. I mean, it's like mutual aid, communities coming together for one another. There's a little bit too much patriarchy and, disdain for women in some Amish communities. But the overall idea of people with similar cultural beliefs and values coming together and operating as their own autonomous region, free from external government influence, is very appealing to me. And it's very hopeful that type of situation is already taking place here in the United States. You got the Lakota Nation up north as well that have declared somewhat autonomous situation. So it's interesting to see how this will continue to play out as more people get fed up with the federal government and central government in general.
Very good. Hey, we'll just carry on until we've talked to them all. On the international line, Andrea in Calgary, Canada.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Good morning.
Hi, I've been really enjoying this show, and I have to agree with you. I do think that the struggle is in, first of all, your spirit, then your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell from my accent that I'm from Britain, and I was educated there. And I actually studied your constitution quite a bit, too. It's been an interesting study. I didn't know until recently that 90-some% of the first Congress were actually British children and grandchildren of people who fled the oppression of the Romans. First, the armies, of course, came in, and then they replaced them with the church. And the church said, come every Sunday and pay money, taxes, or else we'll call you a heretic. We'll smear your reputation, and we'll turn the community against you. And then we'll drag you off into a dungeon and torture you within earshot of your loved ones for a couple of weeks, just to terrorize everybody and show them what happens if you don't turn up and pay into the collection place, which is, of course, a business, not a spiritual refuge.
Right.
Not that I've got anything against religious people. Some of the most wonderful people I've met are very well-intentioned religious people. But all I'm saying is my history, which we learn in school about all of this, is that pattern of first separating you from your spirit, which is your inner voice. Your inner voice tells you what to do. Outer voices want to control that, to make you do something that dishonors your conscience. That's how they get you first. And then they separate men and women by mistranslating the two words in chapter 2 of Genesis that say what Eve was, which was, she was Adam's Ezer Kenegdo. And Ezer means strong savior in time of distress. Not helper. And Kenegdo means equal and opposite counterpart, meaning it holds up the other side of the peak of a roof, say, in a house of cards. That was, you might, I've heard people say that was an accidental mistranslation, but don't believe me. Go and ask someone who's fluent in Hebrew and they'll easily translate those two words. Ezer Kenego does not mean help meet. So first they divide you from your spirit by saying, well, do whatever you want all week. I'll broker your relationship with God if you come and pay me money once a week in the collection plate. And if you don't, we're going to call you a heretic and we'll torture you and then we'll bring you out and hand draw and quarter you in front of the whole community. And the reason I'm saying all this is because that pattern of behavior is being repeated now, from what I can see. Then what they do is they divide men and women by seducing men into believing that they're superior when they are, generally, physically. But we have strengths too, and we're both sides of the same coin. Not one of us the side of a dollar and the other the side of a dime. So that's the second way to divide and conquer. Third way to divide and conquer, as your guests are talking about, is community. What they do, and I've seen this happen, I've worked in some of the largest corporations in the world as an IT contract project manager, and I've seen it done in communities, is if they see someone who's strong and a leader in the community or a bit of a rebel, what they'll do is someone will start nasty rumors about them, and then other people will spread those nasty rumors, and before you know it, just like hunting up a herd, the predator comes in and cuts that one out of the herd so they're isolated. Then they run them down until they've got them in one way or another, either in jail or they're exhausted and they submit or, you know, they kill themselves. I mean, that's what they do to targeted individuals now, right? But the difference today, and I work in IT, I have done for 30 years, is that back then you could have secret conversations with people. You could keep your contacts secret. You could keep your community secret. Right, you can't now. I took a picture on my new Samsung phone, I plugged it into my laptop, and a few days later, I noticed that my photos were on Google on my laptop and ready to be uploaded to publicly share with anybody. You know, all my contacts, all my emails. So if let's say you're a rebel and you're outspoken and You know, you're one of these sovereignist people, and they can target you and harass you and isolate you, and community is very important, but you also need to protect who you commune with. That's all I'm suggesting.
Andrea, that was a fantastic call. I thank you very much for making it, and I hope you will continue to listen and call us again. What an insightful set of commentaries. Mm-hmm. All right, hey, John and Catherine, why don't you hang around for a little? Can you hang? I know it's late, but can you hang around a little bit longer? Two or three more calls, maybe?
We're having a blast.
All right, cool. Did I say that out loud? Yes, I did. It's cool. No, it's actually quite hot. That's where we always go on Saturday nights, someplace hot. All right, let's do a little news, a few commercials. Open the outer doors, please, and load those babies. And we'll be right back. Sovereign living, that's the thing. John Bush and Catherine Bleich, the Blush family on Coast to Coast AM.